This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi everyone, this is Paul Simpson, manager at Carlisle United, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast.
My name is Jamie Devitt.
My name is Maddie Robson.
My name is Chris Miller.
My name is Paul Anderson.
My name is Mark Boyd.
Hello. My name is Derek Combs.
My name's Toby Show Silva.
My name's Greg Abbott, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast. Enjoy.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Ah, you're looking very, focused in. The camera's looking very pristine for you, Will. Oh, Liam's playing darts again. Eh? Been playing darts again, Liam.
What I do when I'm waiting in the waiting room.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, I need a waiting room activity. I'll get a darts board. It's a good idea. It's a good idea. Yeah, lads, it's been an interesting weekend, personally for all of us. We all got to hang out. It was a good one. For us, but obviously the result not necessarily being the best of things. We'll talk about, little things that happened on the weekend just a little bit later on. But first, lads, I'll get things kicked off properly. It matters. How's it going? And welcome back to the Blue Army Podcast. This is, of course, episode 146, and I am absolutely buzzing to be joined by the three men that I love to call the Cumbrian Brain Trust. That's right. I'm talking about Max, Wills, and Liam. Welcome back, boys. We're in a full house again.
Yeah.
Yeah. First time in a while, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, last week wasn't a full house, but before that there was
there was quite a few weeks.
There was a few on and off, and it's always nice, to have those rare occasions where you get to have a bit of a break and listen in on an episode. from what I've heard from you guys, listening in to such classics like the joke of the week, lads, because it's that time of the show. Oh, fuck! I've gone for two catchphrases at once. I've got all flustered. I've forgotten how to lead into the joke of the week. But
having a laugh?
Go on, Will.
I'm not doing the full thing.
Tell you, mate. Are you having a laugh? I think he's trying to. It's the Blue Army Podcast. Duke of the week. Oh, boys, we're in for a bumpy ride today. We're in for a bumpy ride on this one. Right, here we go. Why can't you play football with pigs?
I don't know. Why can't you play football with kids?
Pigs. Because they hog the ball.
Yeah, Ethan, bring back the Barrow jokes. Bring back.
You run out of them eventually, man. There's only so many. There's only so many of them kind of jokes that you can go through on a family friendly show as well. We got to keep it family friendly.
Most of the time.
but lads, it was a pretty good joke of the week. So I feel like we're going to lead into very strongly into the part of the show where we all get to find out what's been happening there. In the League One Roundup with Liam and Wills. Wow. Take it away, boys.
Not League One this week.
Oh, what have you got for us?
Well, there's one thing that we found in League One, but it's Reading fans protesting It's nothing particularly new here. Situation's still the same. The photos are good, though. They're all dressed up as clowns, so
right.
Makes for a nice news story. But instead, we're going to look at the promotion race in League Two and the relegation battle in the Championship.
Yeah, so the kind of soon-to-be League One clubs instead of the current bunch.
What's happening around League One? Liam, do you want to kick off with your bit?
Yeah, I'll kick off. I'm going to talk about the Championship relegation battle. And to be fair, it's quite close. I think up to 18th, down to 24th, they're all kind of still in it. With Blackburn in 17th, maybe just being pulling away from it a little bit now. But the clubs that could be relegated include Rotherham, who are cut adrift at the bottom now. They're, 12 points adrift. You know, I'd say that's impossible, but I'm also trying to convince myself that Carlisle's 11 points isn't impossible, so it's kind of contradictory. But you know, they look favourites to go down anyways. Then there's Sheffield Wednesday, who had a really bad start to the season but have kind of picked up a little bit of form now. They're on 26 points as opposed to Rotherham's 19. QPR 29. They're the bottom three as it stands. Then there's Huddersfield just above that in 31. Stoke City, a bit of a surprise package down there with 32 points, just 3 points outside of the relegation zone. And then Birmingham City, who obviously have recently sacked Wayne Rooney, who managed to get them into an amazing downward spiral. It's quite impressive to even manage that. And then maybe a little bit further into safety, although only 4 points clear, is Millwall on 33 points. So, you know, you notice there's a lot of big clubs down there. You think of Sheffield Wednesday, QPR, Stoke, Birmingham, Millwall, all big kind of ex-first division sides.
It'd be interesting to see Stoke and Port Vale in the same division if that happens. Can't remember that happening before, but it's quite a fierce rivalry.
It would be
rivalry.
A nasty one, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I mean, given that the two teams rarely play each other, it is kind of, you know, still very fierce, so you can only imagine.
And they could be dragged into the relegation zone if QPR were to beat Stoke, which is happening on Wednesday, you know, Valentine's Day game. You know, Stoke against QPR. If QPR can win that, they overturn their very similar goal difference to go out of the relegation zone and put Stoke into that, which is, you know, a position Stoke really wouldn't have thought they'd have been in come the start of the season. But, you know, 4 games, 4 defeats, you know, they're really getting dragged into it, and it looks like they could be one of the teams getting relegated this season into League One, where hopefully they will play Carlisle next season.
Hopefully. So League Two, the top of the table's been very competitive this season. You know, the big teams that we thought are going to compete and be, you know, shoo-ins for automatic promotion. Currently, as things stand, Wrexham are in fifth. Notts County, on a bit of a bad run of form, way down in 10th. Meanwhile, there's all these other teams that, you know, some were expected to do well, and they're having good seasons. So you kind of look at it now and you feel like whoever comes up, there's going to be a lot of big spending, big teams left down there, and it's going to be difficult next season. Up at the top, we've got Stockport County, who just had a really good season so far. They've seen off the likes of Wrexham and Notts County, who I think many thought it would be between those two up at the top, just with how much money's behind them. Stockport have an 8-point gap back down to Barrow, who are just outside of the automatics. Mansfield and Crewe as well, they're having very good seasons up in the automatic places. And like I just said, Barrow, they're still up there. They're only a point outside the automatics.
They've only won one of the last five. You know, they're in bad form.
Yeah, I mean, they lost really well at the weekend. Wrexham have lost 3 in a row now. So Wrexham on 52 points behind Crewe on 54 and Barrow on 53. Although they've got a couple of games in hand. And then MK Dons on, you know, decent form, 4 wins in 6 up there. And then even Harrogate, who are unbeaten in 6 with 4 wins in 6, making up the playoff places.
Tell you what, if we go down, I hope Harrogate go up because I cannot be bothered playing them again.
But do you want to be below them? Like, can you imagine if Harrogate and Barrow got up and we went down?
I don't really care about Harrogate, to be honest. Like, if they went up, I don't think I'd. You wouldn't get
Luke Armstrong
will
be
fans.
A bit good, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
I suppose, yeah.
And then you've got Notts County on 44 points, so 10 points behind the Automatics. And Newport on 43 on really good form down in 11th. So there's the top 11 teams there. You'd think Stockport were going to get automatic promotion the way they're going. But it's going to be a really competitive battle with the likes of Mansfield, Crewe, Wrexham, maybe MK Dons. And then, you know, with Barrow and Harrogate, you know, can they kind of like hang on in there and still be in contention for at least the playoffs? Notts County as well, if they can get back into it. Just a little look down at the bottom end to see who's going to be in League Two next season, because touch wood, we won't be, but, you know, listeners might be curious. Sutton and Forest Green Rovers look gone. Sutton are 7 points behind Colchester. Colchester aren't on great form, or Grimsby above them, but, you know, it's been consistently those two at the bottom all season. And, you know, outside of the likes of Grimsby and Colchester, I can't see anyone else maybe figuring in that relegation battle. Meanwhile, down in the conference, it looks almost inevitable that Chesterfield are going to come up, and they're going to be another club with a lot of money. They are 23 points clear of second in first place. Oh. And that's, you know, that's with a couple of teams having a game or two in hand, but, you know, it's not one of those situations. They've won 26, drawn 3, lost 3 all season, scored 79 goals.
Not too bad, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it would take something for them not to finish that season in first place. Below there, it could be anyone. It's not really worth looking at this point. It's pretty close, but yeah, Chesterfield, another big money team that could be in league, well, will be in League Two, I almost feel confident to say, in next season.
Right. Well, boys, we've really got to find out what's been happening here. What's been happening there? In the league. One roundup with Liam and Wills. I hesitated there because I was kind of thinking I might have to change the name for a second. The Championship and League Two roundup with Liam and Wills. But
everyone
no,
but League One, really, you know.
It was interesting. No, it was interesting finding out what's going on either side of other worlds, you know, rather than just sort of like woe is us news. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to sort of like be able to reach outside the box. And so a man who consistently reaches outside the box for ideas is Max. But first, I have to apologise because it's the one time I just couldn't think of a rhyme. It's Max's million pound idea. I'm back on form, boys. I'm back on form.
Well, let's hope I'm back on form as well. Yeah, it's the return. It's the return of the million pound idea. After a January off to do the transfers, which I enjoyed, but it's always good to get the classic back on. So this next one comes from Jamie, my mate Jamie. We discussed it at the weekend. So, Skelly, you'll have to act unsurprised when I say this. So he basically wants us, as in us, the Carlisle United, to stamp our presence on Warwick Road a bit more. So I obviously grew up a Birmingham City fan because of my dad. And when you go to St Andrews, you can be like a good distance away from the ground and you know where you're heading. So, you know, there's Birmingham City things everywhere. A bit like how we have on the, you know, the side of the Brunton Park now, you get the sort of flag things with the players on. We thought, you know, going up Warwick Road, there's not really anything to tell you that you're heading towards Brunton Park, like if you didn't already know. Yeah. So it'd be a bit night, like especially on like an evening kickoff, you could have like blue lights and things like that, just to sort of add to that match day experience. But those are the only two ideas we sort of thought of, was like the lights and the flags and stuff. So I don't know if any of you have got anything else.
Yeah, it would be a difficult one, I guess, with houses all down it.
I know, you see it on like so many other clubs, though. It's like,
I mean,
What did you say, Will? Sorry, because what all down it?
Look, you know, with houses all down it. You sometimes see people in those houses, you know, if they are Carlisle United fans, but I don't know if all of them are.
I think, like, you could, like, do you know the way that aren't the trees at the cathedral, like, constantly, like, lit? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, aren't they lit all year round? Don't they have, like, things on them all year round?
Yeah, I think so.
And, like, how many trees is there on Warwick Road?
Like blue, white, and red.
So there's a lot you could do with it, though. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't just, you could, you know, you don't, it doesn't just have to be Carlisle United stuff as well. You know, you can change the colours on them for, like, you know, if you're going to use the stadium for another Lionel Richie or an Elton John or something. You know, the council can part fund it. Do you know what I mean? It'll be one of those kind of things that they could quite easily do. And, you know, like I said, they do it at the cathedral anyway. They've got lights and stuff there. So, like, that would be an easy way, I reckon, to instantly sort of it'll change the atmosphere. If you're walking down Warwick Road on a match day and it's all blue and you're walking down there, like, it'll change the atmosphere.
But if you go down to the other end of Warwick Road where you've got more things like bars and cafes and shops, then I think you've got, there's a lot more potential there, even though it's further away from the ground, to, you know, get a bit of the match day atmosphere in that area. I was like, the lads with Sonny Kirkwood and them, I don't know if they still do it as much, like marching down Warwick
Road.
March
the ground. Yeah, I think there is still sometimes they do that.
Yeah, so I mean, there's kind of like potential for, you know, if some of the bars around there are wanting to, you know, put on offers or put things in the window and stuff on match days.
Yeah, I just think there's a bit of potential there with Warwick Road, obviously. Everyone in Carlisle always thinks of it as like Carlisle United, Warwick Road, and all that. But you know, it could make it quite an intimidating place to sort of for an away team driving up there to, you know, before the game, a little Carlisle United stuff everywhere. You see it a lot with other teams, like I said before, and it does sort of stand out if you're an away fan.
Yeah, paint the bins blue.
But then the binmen won't know which bin to take.
I don't know. But yeah, I feel like there's a lot you could do with Warwick Road potentially, and working with the council and stuff to be able to definitely add something to the one match day experience.
Branding has been talked about by the new owners. They've talked about it in sort of the American sense, sort of taking it over there, but I think, honestly, it's not done enough in Carlisle itself, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, like, flags would be a lot cheaper as well, if that's an option, than lighting, because I guess it's possible that if the club had to foot a lot of the bill for lighting, it could be quite a lot. I don't know if, like, bigger clubs like Birmingham are able to do that, but you could still do, like, flags and banners and things would be inexpensive.
I mean, lights could just be for, like, you know, evening
games. It
would
just have to be for evenings anyway, won't it?
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't work at, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
No. I don't know how much it costs to, like, fit them all, though.
I don't know. It's like you don't have to, like, start with 100, you know?
Does anyone know, write in if you know how much does it cost to light a tree, per tree?
just stuff like the tree. You know, like, murals and stuff. you know, like, you get, like, paintings and murals on walls and stuff, like in Liverpool, for example.
Yeah,
there could be things like that, you know.
Yeah, and there's a, you know, maybe one or two gable ends along that road.
Who gets a mural then? Like, who gets a mural in?
I was just thinking that as I said that.
Simo
Murphy. Yeah.
Just the classics, you know.
Yeah.
Jimmy Glass.
Just all of the 74 squad. He could have like a mural that's all of them.
That'd be good.
This ideas are flowing. I like it. Are you got any more million dollar ideas? Are you going to save them?
Well, yeah, they have to be saved just to keep it going.
to prolong the experience. Well, it was a triumphant return, I feel like, but I still have to apologise because it's the one time I just couldn't think of a rhyme. That was Max's million-pound idea. Yeah, baby. Yeah, we're smashing it today. And someone else that's smashing it is the owners at Carlisle United, because they're smashing down the walls of the Warwick Road and they're going to be improving the facilities there with a brand-new fan zone. It's all exciting news, gentlemen. There's going to be bars plenty in the Warwick Road end, obviously serving hot food as well. So it's just an instant injection that's going to happen at the start of next season, it's going to be open. So over the course of the summer, it's going to be bish, bash, bosh. And I think it's just going to be a couple of porter cabins and opening out the back end a bit. And, you know, but it'll be all right. But like the fan zone, you know, the other fan zone.
It'll be good.
Like that.
It'll be nice and, you know, in the summer.
Warwick will need it. It'd be nice all year round, I'm sure. Like it'd be all covered, I assume. Or with
you'd be able to sit having a drink, thinking, not that long ago I was pissing in that.
I assume, I don't know. Imagine if they like keep like just like the paint job of like that side of the back of the Warwick or something. Just, like, keep the urinal line on the back of the Warwick or something.
Blue plaque.
I did like. Do you know what though? Like every piss in the Warwick now is like, you know, a final goodbye. You
know? it's going to be a busy summer, isn't it, at the ground?
Yeah, it feels like it. It definitely feels like it. And since you said that, we may as well mention a little sort of update for the charity match. Now, we haven't confirmed a venue, regardless of what the rumours might be after the pictures were released on social media. There isn't a venue confirmed yet for the charity match between us and the Last Ditch podcast. But lads, we're obviously very excited, and I can reveal a little bit of an exclusive on this podcast. We have confirmed at least one ex-pro, so yay! Not going to tell anyone who it is, but you know, we've at least confirmed one person who's definitely up for playing. We've got a manager confirmed as well. I don't think I've told people that yet. We won't reveal that yet either. It's very exciting times. Things are progressing, and just to mention, he's technically been a national team manager before, so high pedigree that we've been able to pull in for the Blue Army podcast team, so we can't wait for the charity match. We'll keep you up to date with everything. Just a little teaser there, unfortunately, because I just don't have
welcome
any
to the team, Gareth.
Oh, he's going to be coming to scout you, Liam. That's it. No, but you know, we can confirm also that Max is going to be playing in goal for the Blue Army podcast team for at least 45 minutes. And so, how are you feeling about that, Max?
I'm very excited. I haven't played in goal for a few years, but I'm hoping to, you know, get some practice in, and I'm sure Liam's dad will give me some tips.
I've got my gloves as well. Liam's dad is going to be the goalkeeper for the other 45 minutes of the charity match. Now that, Max, I mean, I love talking Sunday League with people from Carlisle, and you know, you've got to tell us what Sunday League teams you were playing for. Like, what was the last team you were playing for in Nets?
So I started my career off at Carlisle City.
Oh wow, City, nice.
Yeah. Then I played for Harrowby, and then I had a little stint at Cumwinton just for on loan for a season, and then I went back to Harrowby.
Did Cumwinton pay your wages during that season, or
50-50?
Ineligible for the cup tie against Harrowby.
and Liam, can
so
you
I come win and won't get into any cup finals.
Liam, can you reveal like your dad's history in Nets? Do you know anything about that?
Well, what? Sorry.
Do you know anything about your dad's history in Nets?
Oh, he played for Maryport, Never Hall. Then he played for Workington Reds for a bit.
Good then. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad to hear that.
Well, wow, yeah. I mean, there we go. There we go. An ex-semi-pro coming in for at least 45 minutes. Nice. Really good. I didn't realize that. I'm all giddy now. Bit of a coup, maybe. You know, hopefully his back's okay though. You know, after
putting up with you
for as long as he has. But yeah, that's about all we can really reveal about the charity match, I suppose, so far. That's about it for now. Obviously, it's all in aid of Mind, so get your donations ready for that. That's what it's all going to be in aid of. So, lads, I'll move on with some more like proper Carlisle United related news. It's the sad news that Corey Whelan has been admitted from the squad, and therefore you won't have another game for Carlisle United between now and the end of the season. His contract runs out at the end of the season, and it was revealed just today, I believe, by Paul Simpson, that he was given the opportunity to wrap up his deal. He was made an offer that he could go out and obviously be paid up on at least part of his deal. And Corey Whelan turned it down, knowing that this would be the situation that it would eventually happen. It is sad news when things like this kind of happens. But, you know, he's a fully grown man and he's made his decision, hasn't he, Max?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Simo's given him the chance to sort of leave the club and maybe go and find something else, you know, probably in the lower leagues. But yeah, it's interesting that he's decided to stay and train. But yeah, like they both signed the contract, so
he still mentioned that the fact that the club can still register him. So that's a little bit on his mind. No, you know, not that that's affected his decision, but I guess while he's here, he'll maybe be thinking in the back of his mind, if the club do need me, it's not too late to add him.
Yeah, it's true. He'll have his own reasons, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of depends what his other offers were. If he's, you know, could potentially end up with more money if he kind of takes the paid up contract and then goes and gets another contract. But it's only going to be for 3 or 4 months. Part of me thinks it could be for non-footballing reasons. Maybe he just doesn't want to uproot and have to go and sign somewhere to play for 3 months or something.
Yeah.
He'd rather just carry on training where he is, and maybe sees that as the best way to keep in, you know, to keep sharp.
Yeah, I mean, we've all had our opinions on Corey Whelan's performances. He's been a little bit inconsistent for Carlisle United, but overall, you know, he's always put his heart and his effort into his performances, I believe, in a blue shirt, yeah. Wouldn't you say, Liam?
Yeah, and he'll always be remembered as one of the promotion winning squad as well. I always preferred him over Ben Barkley, to be honest, but, you know, it is sad to see him to go. But I think he will definitely be remembered fondly.
Yeah. So all good vibes on that one. There's been recruitment news as well, but it's all backroom staff. Billy Barr has joined the coaching team, and as an analyst, we've brought in Glenn Bowden from Scunthorpe. So, you know, thickening out the backroom team, especially after the earlier additions of Jake Simpson. I believe there's another person that I'm feeling to mention as well that's been added to the backroom staff. Obviously, new goalkeeper coach at some point, I believe, but like Billy Barr, he's been here before. He's been assistant manager at Dundee, was his last job. He's known to be a bit fierce. And just before, you know, there was news of Billy Barr coming in, Wills, you know, you remember him fondly, don't you? But just before news of Billy Barr coming in, there was mentioned the fact that, you know, Carlisle need to get a bit tougher. And now they brought Billy Barr in. So do you think Billy Barr's the right kind of person to turn Carlisle a bit more steely?
It was up to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, based on his experience, you'd think that, you know, up in Dundee, that's, you know, he's been at Dundee, which is a pretty high level. So you'd want him to come in and hopefully, you know, he's got some experience and can really kind of improve us in coaching and in training.
Yeah. I mean, like as a player when he was here at Carlisle United, do you have any memories of him?
No, it was a bit before my time, but I do remember an own goal that he scored that was, it's worth a look. It's one of the finest own goals I've ever seen. I remember seeing it when I was little on Soccer AM. It was a bit before my time of actually supporting Carlisle United, but I still remember him for that reason.
Definitely worth looking up that own goal from Billy Barr. That's it for Carlisle United related news this week, gentlemen. You know, as the transfer window closes, things get a little quieter. Paul Simpson did say something about having a couple of free agents on the hook. But, you know, when I read into the news, it didn't really sound like they were really ever really on the hook. One of them, he just said, was a non-starter. So, you know, that's definitely not on the hook. And the other one, just I think he said, just wasn't going to be feasible after they watched some clips of him. So, you know, they obviously heard his name, watched some clips and were like, no. So that sounds like a non-starter as well, unfortunately. So, lads, do you really think, though, at this stage of the season, that it's a wise decision for us to be bringing more players into that starting lineup? Or do we need to start letting the best 11 settle? What do you think of that one, Max?
I think for it to be the right player, it'll have to be someone who's not guaranteed to make a difference, but has played at this level successfully for a number of years. And is that player going to be available? Probably not. But I think that was one of the reasons Corey Whelan was sort of left out, you know, in the, so that we'd have enough space if someone did come along. But, you know, we've got, it's always good to be looking out for options, but they'd have to be a really good player for me.
That's right. I think it is. And I think that the desperation would say that you want to bring in a goal scorer, but we're waiting for goal scorers to come through, like Coyote potentially. And then obviously, what's he called?
Kelly.
Yeah, that's Kelly, the one. Yeah. Georgie McKelly. Yeah, so we're obviously waiting for players
just
to
Kelly.
Come
back.
I don't bother with it anymore.
So yeah, you know, we're waiting for players to come back. And lads, before we play everybody's second favourite game, we'll have a quick word from a few of our sponsors.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
All right, gentlemen, it's time to play everybody's second favourite game. That's right, it's time for True Blue or Not a Blue. It's the time of the show where you all team together to guess whether or not a player is a blue or not a blue. And this time, it's the turn of the year, 1992. So it's not that bad. You've got a bit of a chance. Now, I have obviously not picked the most famous players from the 1992 squad, so it is a little bit difficult, but we'll see how you get on. You know, it's a nice dynamic. We'll see how you get on. The first one for you, boys, is Craig Potts. True blue or not a blue?
Instinct says true, but that's just a hunch.
Yeah, Will, you're our go-to on this one.
We'll see.
It was well before my time, so.
I was minus eight, so.
It is a true blue, gentlemen. Well done. So you're off to a good start. The next one, gentlemen, is Winston Black.
That sounds real. Fake.
That sounds fake, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure I've heard of a Winston.
We're not having that. Okay, gentlemen. It wasn't a blue. Well done, lads. Well done. It wasn't a blue. So 2 for 2. Congratulations. Going strong. The next one, Winston White.
Typical, isn't he? No, I mean, I don't know. My hunch is that he's still winding us up.
It'll be Winston Green next.
Yeah,
next
it will be, and none of them will be true. How his mind works.
Not a blue.
Yeah, not a blue.
You're saying not a blue.
Yeah.
But Winston White, and gentlemen, I'm sorry, but your good form has come crashing to an end. Winston White was a Carlisle United player in 1992. He was a true blue. So you're 3 for 2 as we go into number 4, Mickey Holmes.
Oh, it does sound like a Carlisle player.
Mickey Holmes.
Yeah. Mickey Holmes.
Mickey Holmes. Mickey. Should we just go true blue? True blue. Max's first instinct.
Yeah. Just Max.
Go with Max.
It's all on you, Max.
Mickey Holmes was a true blue. Well done, Max. Well done. 3 for 4. Congratulations. Can you finish it in good form and equal last week's score? I believe you got 4 last week as well. The last one is Ricky Holmes.
For goodness sake.
It's not Ricky and Mickey Holmes.
The two twin midfielders.
The
brothers.
Season, yeah.
The famous Cambrian brothers.
The twins up top.
I think he has to be on the wind up because he can't possibly find one of these that's true every season.
No, I mean, I feel like,
and
I
it's not
going
to be Ricky and Mickey, is it? Like, no.
So we're saying it's not a blue,
not a blue.
Okay, and you'd be correct, boys. Well done. It's a very good score again. 4 out of 5. we're going to dive into a part of the show where we might, you know, get a bit wavy and you know, we might get a bit angry and a bit frustrated. But at the end of the day, we've all got guessing the player to come out of the other end of it. That's right, yeah, lads. It's time for the match report. And as I always do, before I do the match report, I'll give you the Carlisle United starting lineup for the game that unfortunately ended in a 1-0 defeat to Portsmouth this past Saturday at Brunton Park. There was Lewis in goal with a back four of Finn Back, Sam Lavelle, Ben Barkley and Jack Robinson. A midfield of Gibson, Vela, Neil, Mellish and Diamond with Armstrong potentially playing up front. I think Diamond was playing up front, actually. I'm just like reading what the BBC says. It was more of a 4-4-2 to me. Liam, would you want to confirm if it looked like more of a 4-4-2 to you with a Diamond playing up front?
I thought it was more like a 4-5-1. I kind of agree with the BBC. You know, Jack Diamond was a bit deeper than Armstrong, and I think they were just trying to make it a bit more solid to try and not get overrun.
Yeah, I feel like, Will, you did say something to me in the Warwick about it being sort of like a 4-4-1-1 or something. I don't
4-2-3-1.
Know what you said.
4-2-3-1.
Yeah, something a bit more complex.
Yeah, with like Mellish playing ahead of Neil and Vela, and then sort of, you know, Diamond and Gibson.
Yeah.
With Armstrong up front.
Yeah, yeah. Max, did this sort of like change in formation, did it do anything for you? You know, we've been asking for a change in formation for a while. Is this dynamic a direction that you want to head in, or is there a part of it that you'd like to improve?
Well, I think we looked a lot better on Saturday than we have looked in the most recent games. So, yeah, we all called for a change in formation and we got one. And to be fair, I think it sort of did us a lot of favours. Obviously, we still lost, but against a strong side, I don't think 1-0 is necessarily that bad of a result.
Yeah, we weren't embarrassed. Like, I think we were all expecting to be.
Yeah.
I mean, we started quite well, and there was a couple of opportunities for Carlisle United in the first half. You could argue even that Carlisle United had the better of the opportunities in the first half. The first big opportunity was after a long throw, which doesn't often bear fruit for Carlisle United, but this time did. After a flick on the ball, bounced towards Gibbo, towards the back post, and he just sort of lashed at it and snapped at it a little bit early. And it was a bit of... what's the word for it? A precursor of what was to come for Gibbo during this game. He had a number of shots, and I don't think he really hit the target, unfortunately. I think he had 4 shots in total, failed to hit the target in at least 3 of those shots, unfortunately. And I just feel like he was snatching at the opportunities on the day. I feel like he's desperate to be Carlisle United's answer in this struggle. I mean, what can you do to a player that might be just trying too hard? Will, what do you think you can say to a player that's just, you know, maybe just trying too hard?
I mean, I don't know, because I think most of the chances that he took were not big clear-cut chances, but I don't know if any of the shots actually came from in the box. And, you know, it's just the usual thing of, you know, players not being in the right positions to, you know, to get a pass, and therefore an attack sort of like winds up with the player, in this case Gibbo, who's maybe initiated the attack, just taking a shot on, which, you know, hasn't come off on this occasion. But I think it's, you know, it's less a thing about Gibbo's performance and more a thing about the attack altogether. Like, you know, why were there not players in better positions than him when he did take the shots on?
It's true. I mean, it's, you know, it's a new dynamic, I suppose, and maybe we'll see more sort of people getting in the box. But Armstrong did okay during this game. He was feeding off scraps. It's been noted on social media by Carlisle United fans that, you know, he seems to be really putting a shift in, but he is still feeding off scraps. He almost got a goal peeling away on the front post, but it was blocked very confidently by the Portsmouth goalkeeper. Who would you pair, Max, with
Armstrong. I mean, I made some comments about Maguire on the weekends, but who is that someone that you'd want to pair him with, or you know, is the Butterworth experiment not over yet, or is he a lone striker and we need to put a better midfielder and better create better opportunities around him?
Yeah, I think we've still got to find that out. I think Maguire's got the potential to. Maguire's got the potential to be a really good sort of partner for him, I think, but it's just not happening for him. I don't think I don't think he's buying into Carlisle as much as probably we all thought he was, you know, we all thought he would. Georgie Kelly's an interesting one that Simo's mentioned before. You know, he says he's looking forward to seeing them two as a partnership up top, so hopefully he'll be the answer, but we'll have to wait until he's back from injury.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Do you feel like, Liam, when the striking options improve with Coyote coming back from injury and obviously Kelly getting fully fit, do you feel like, you know, it's going to be another change in formation?
Maybe. I think you'd take Butterworth out, put Kelly in there, maybe go back to your 5-3-2. But, you know, I think Simpson's just at the moment taking it on a game-by-game basis. I don't think he's really got a settled formation anymore. I think he'll have to go back to playing with a front two because he's talked about Kelly playing with Armstrong a lot. So I think he is going to have to change it in some way to try and just get them both on the pitch, even if that includes playing Kelly a little bit out wide, maybe. I don't know.
Now, the goal came just after the hour mark. Like I said, arguably, Carlisle United had the stronger of the first half exchanges. But you know, defenders caught out of position from, you know, potentially being on some kind of attack. And then all of a sudden, after a pass went astray, we were just caught out. It was a really good pass. There is potential to say that Lewis should have got off his line a little bit faster, you know, could have read that play a little bit quicker and potentially have closed down that space. But it's a good pass and you could really see the quality of Portsmouth in that counter-attacking play. The performance from Portsmouth, would you say they're a team that are going to be, you know, top of the league come the end of the season?
I think, sorry, in the fact that they won, I don't think it's the best, you know, it's the best away performance we've seen this season. I think I think they may be flattered to deceive a little bit, given the top of the league. You know, in the first half, we got a few chances from the Warwick top of the league, Gavin Alaf. But obviously, they're going to play a lot better than that. And what we may be seeing is a team that are able to get a goal despite not playing their best, which, you know, is the mark of a promotion team.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're gonna hand over to you, the listeners. Basically the watchers, really, of the Blue Army TV on YouTube, as we dive into Liam's YouTube comment section and hear what some of you guys had to say about Carlisle United's performance.
Right. Okay. First off, First off, we've got a comment from a Portsmouth fan called Joker's Wild. He says, how on earth are your team at the foot of the table? We have played teams who were 10 times worse and are sitting in mid-table. Really hope you pull out of the relegation zone. Your first half performance Saturday was really good. Best of luck from a Pompey supporter. Which is a nice comment, isn't
it? That's a nice comment.
Yeah. I always take things like that with a pinch of salt when they're coming from a team who've just beat us because they're, you know, maybe feeling a bit charitable.
Yeah.
Teams that have beat you are always like, you're actually decent.
I was talking to some Pompey fans before the game, actually, and they were pretty sound. So,
yeah.
Got nothing bad to say about them.
Yeah, we had a few good exchanges with some Pompey fans.
I think a lot of them have just come for this trip, like for the novelty of it being such a long journey as well. Like, probably. You know, I think they're just happy to be to, you know, have that journey already out of the way and be up here, you know, but get out of the bus. You know, they're just happy to get out of the bus. But
they've got a big Scottish following as well, so it's always a bit of a big
game
for them.
There was a flag in the waterworks. Anyways, Neil Henderson says, we need to get two wins this week, away at Burton Albion and home at Cambridge United. If we can do that, who knows? We can do this up the Blues, he says. Michael Weston says, just learn to play on the ground and give Luke Armstrong a run through the middle for goal, which is you know, it's a good idea, but easier said than done, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe not against Portsmouth.
Yeah, you can't try and outperform Portsmouth when they've got players like Kamara and, you know, as we've seen, Moxon as well, you know, them kind of players. Good.
What do you think of that reception that Moxon got at the Warrior? Because I know when there's mixed review, mixed feelings amongst us, but Will, you were a bit stoic, weren't you?
I don't really want to give a big reaction to him coming on either way. It was a bit strange having parts of the crowd booing and parts of the crowd singing his name. Fortunately, it didn't cause a rift in the fan base, but I mean, you know, he's gone and, you know, we've got work to do. And it just so happens that the first game after he's gone, he's back with the opposition. But
you say it didn't have a rift in the fan base, but where Max was standing, there was a couple of boos for Moxon, wasn't there? And Max, what happened there?
Well, it wasn't me, so... Oh, yeah, I don't know about with Moxon. It's like, I'm not thinking about Moxon anymore. I just want to stay up.
Liam, you're on a different side of the ground. I'll take the pressure off Max. He's gone red. You're on a different side of the ground. So, you know, what were the reactions like over in the East Stand?
I think more or less neutral. You know, I think most of the noise at Brunton Park comes from the Warwick Road end. But I didn't hear much booing. There was a few that sort of stood up and clapped. And I think, you know, I kind of disagree with the boos. And I think Owen Moxon, probably one of the best players we've seen at Brunton Park in recent years. And, you know, with him probably going up with Portsmouth, that could have been his last game on the Brunton Park pitch. So, you know, clapping a player off who's, you know, been excellent for us in the last couple of years in his last game at the ground, I don't really have too much of a problem with.
Yeah, mixed emotions amongst everybody, mixed emotions. And there's something else that creates mixed emotions is a Man of the Match award when Carlisle United lose. But, you know, sometimes we give them, sometimes we don't. I feel like, you know, John Mellish just tried hard enough to do it for me. He was consistent enough throughout. And so, like, he's my sort of standout performer on the day. You know, he's adjusting again to that wishy-washy position that he gets to play in, and always being effective, at least making a number of good tackles. Gibson did well for me defensively, but going forward, I mentioned the fact that I don't think his shooting was very good on the day. So for me, it's Mellish, with an honourable mention to Gibbo, though, for his quite fantastic defensive duties. I'll hand over to Will, who's your man of the match.
I'm going to give it to Harrison Neal. I think it was a competent performance from him, and he got the sponsors man of the match. And, you know, I do want to give one out because I don't think we played terribly. I think he showed us that he's going to be a good player for us, or he is showing us he's going to be a good player. So, yeah, him.
Yeah, that's fair, Max.
Luke Armstrong. He poses much more of a threat than I think any striker we've had this season. I think I remember one chance he had, which I thought he was a bit unlucky with, running towards the front post. And yeah, I do want to see him more with the ball at his feet, because we saw what he can do, obviously, at Barnsley. So yeah, I'll give it to him.
And Liam?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Wills. I think that was probably Harrison Neal's best game in his, to this point, short Carlisle career. I think he was absolutely fantastic. He was, you know, I think he was by far our best player on the day, and he was especially in that first half. I know it's hard to give a man of the match to a player who came off after, what was it, 70 minutes, but he was absolutely fantastic, Harrison Neal.
I'm glad we've got him for quite a few years as well.
Yeah,
yeah. I watched that and I thought he's going to absolutely tear up League Two if we go down.
Hopefully.
Midfield maestro Harrison Neal. Two man of the match awards there. That's fair enough. Well done. And lads, it's time to do our predictions. We obviously look ahead to the weekend games when we do our predictions, which means it's at home against Cambridge, who lost against Cheltenham this past weekend. So for me, hopefully they're a team in free fall, and we're going to finally get the decisions right, get the formation right, get the selection right, and the ball's going to end up in the back of the right net a number of times, and we're going to win that football match.
Win that football match.
Let's go, Sports. but I feel like, yeah, it's going to be competent. It's going to be at least, you know, 2-1. Yeah, 2-1 Carlisle. You know, it'll be 2-0, and then they'll do that Carlisle thing where they concede in, like, you know, the 80th, and then they make us shit ourselves. Will, what are you gonna go with?
I'm gonna go for a competent, confident 2-0 win to Carlisle. There, you know, there's someone we can do a double over, and yeah, no, hopefully up the Blues. This will be the start of the fight back.
Bit more confidence, Max.
Yeah, I agree. 2-0. I think we're gonna play really well, and they're not gonna be very good. So yeah.
2-0. And Liam?
2-1, I think. I think we'll beat them, but we seem to not be able to keep clean sheets at the minute at all this season. So, yeah, 2-1.
2-1. 2-1. And they're talking about clean sheets and goalkeepers. I didn't really mention, but it was actually now out of memory. Gabe Brees, he's going to be offered another contract, and it's been said that, you know, he just wanted a little bit more money. He's quite happy to stay at Carlisle United. He just felt like he was a little bit more valuable than the contract that we'd offered to him. And that's modern day football. And that's modern day journalism, in the way that we all end up knowing that information as well. lads, it's time to dive into everybody's favourite
guessing
game.
The player.
Guessing the player.
Guessing the player.
Guessing the player. Here we go, boys.
Guessing the player. Guessing the player.
Guessing the player. Come on, it's guessing the player.
Guessing the player.
Come on.
Guessing the player.
What a tune. Every week, every single week. Now, this time it's my turn to play Blue Guide, and I believe it's Max's turn to take a backseat as we play the classic matchup, the old rivalry, the Man United and Arsenal of the division. That's right, it's time for Will to play Liam in guessing the player. Now, you know each other inside out, but Liam, does that give you any confidence when you play against last season's champion?
Yeah, I feel like I was robbed last year, so if it weren't for the playoffs and the season finished a bit earlier, I would have won. So, yeah, there's not going to be any playoffs this year, I don't think, so... Yeah, I'm confident. I'm confident this year.
Okay, I mean, he's always been confident, hasn't he, Will, at the end of the day? And you're on quite a good run of form at the moment. On your last performance, you managed to bag yourself all 3 points, I believe. So you're well and truly flying at the moment. So how do you feel going into this classic matchup against Liam?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. I've got momentum. You know, I've been just... confident to continue doing what I've been doing.
Well, we're going to dive into the game, and this turn it is Liam who is the home team and Will who is the away team. So Liam, you will get to guess first in guessing the player. Max, take a back seat, my friend, and enjoy a classic bout, an always fiery rivalry in this classic game of guessing the player. Here we go, Liam. Here we go. It's number one. This player has won promotion 3 times in his career, the Conference, League Two, and the Championship. Who do you think it is?
Is it Glenn Murray?
It's not Glenn Murray, I'm afraid.
I was confident with it.
I thought, Will, you were giddy with excitement because you knew the answer, but you've gave away the fact that you don't. You don't know the answer.
That might still be true. That might still be true for Glenn Murray.
It still might be true.
I think it is true for Glenn Murray.
It might be true for Glenn
Murray.
But I think
he's been promoted a couple of times out of the Championship. That was my only thing.
But Will, who do you think it might be then, if it's not Glenn Murray?
Is it... tough one. I'm going to go with Paddy Madden.
Oh, it's a good guess. But it's not the player we're looking for, I'm afraid. It's not the player we're looking for. So the next clue, and 2 points on the line. Liam, it's your turn. This player left Carlisle to join Darlington.
Oh, geez. Well, that kills my guess. but I also can't think of anyone else. Did he go to Darlington? He maybe did, you know. Is it Chris Lumsden?
It is Chris Lumsden. Well done.
I didn't think he got to Darlington.
Yeah, games for Darlington. Yeah, and he got injured, and unfortunately retired. Therefore, after, but it was when Darlington, you know, they just had that new big stadium built. Yeah. And, you know, yeah. they were trying to do something. I feel like there was going to be, after that injury, there might have been a Celtic Nation appearance or two. I don't know. There might have been. There might have been.
Everyone had a Celtic Nation appearance.
lads. It's been a lot of fun, you know, and it always is a lot of fun. Liam, you've managed to get another 2 points. I'm sure
back to winning ways. It's been a while. It feels good, you know.
Yeah, you've been in a bit of a bad form at the moment, but you've turned it around with that performance. Congratulations to you. The last one, in case the people were wondering, was this player has played twice in the Premier League. You know, he always says that, doesn't he? It would have been a dead giveaway at least on the last one. But gentlemen, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure. Don't forget, listeners, to keep watching out on all the social medias for more match updates and things to do with the charity match. We're trying to do something very special for Minds and raise a lot of money and, you know, have a fantastic experience for everyone involved. That'll include you if you get a ticket as well for the event. But gentlemen, at this point of the show, there isn't really anything else left for us to do. Apart from saying, bye for now.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.